Just in 4 weeks from last night, brethren, we will be keeping the Passover in Elmira and here in Buffalo in our local congregations. Brethren, the King James Version of the Bible, the word faith or some derivation of the word faith can be found 336 times. Now, we're not going to go through all those 336 cases in the time of a sermonette, obviously. But 336 times you can find faith or some derivation of the word faith in the Bible. We can find, O ye of little faith, some of the ones that we're most familiar with. Thy faith hath made you whole. O faithless and perverse generation, the faith once delivered. If you have faith of a grain of a mustard seed, the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Great is thy faith. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Without faith it is impossible to please him. For we walk by faith, not by sight. These all died in the faith. So those are just some of the more familiar examples that you probably most certainly have heard with concerning the word faith. So brethren, we see that there are very many variations of the word faith in the Bible. And brethren, we are instructed at this time of year to be preparing to take the Passover and to be readying our homes physically, but more importantly, ourselves spiritually. Brethren, the question I have for you at the start of the sermonette is, if you had to pick the most appropriate Bible verse involving the word faith in preparing yourselves for the days of unleavened bread and the Passover, what would it be? The most appropriate Bible verse concerning the word faith. I submit to you it would be 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. If you would turn there with me, we'll look and see what 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 says. It says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Now I could break that scripture down into basically three phrases, the word in the faith is a three-word phrase, and it's a very large and encompassing topic and something that obviously we can't cover in the time of a sermonette. But the specific purpose of this sermonette is to give you just one way to know whether or not that you are in the faith. One way for you to know whether or not you are in the faith. So continuing on with 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, that scripture can basically be broken down into four parts. The first part, examine yourselves. In other words, inspect yourselves in detail and investigate thoroughly to determine your nature, your spiritual nature, or condition. Now, it's interesting to note that it doesn't say have your wife examine you, or your husband examine you, or your sister examine you, or your brother examine you, but we ourselves are to perform that exam. The second part of that scripture, whether you be in the faith. Brethren, what does it mean to be in the faith? As I said, it's a pretty broad and encompassing term. And here we don't have a list of criteria. It doesn't give us, okay, if you're in the faith, check box A. If you're in the faith, check box B. If you're in the faith, check box C, and so on and so forth. But we'll come back to that. Prove yourselves by obeying the instruction, examining ourselves. So the third part of that scripture is prove your own selves. And we do this by obeying the instruction of examining ourselves. And God helps us to have proof and confidence through that process that we are truly in the faith. The fourth part of 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Brethren, if we are examining ourselves and Christ is helping us to do that examination, and we find that God is not in us, then he regards us as a reprobate. And a reprobate is defined as someone who is unprincipled and considered not one of God's elect. So, brethren, how do we know that we are truly in the faith, as 2 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us to determine for ourselves? As I said, there is no list to determine whether we're in the faith. There's no A, B, or C boxes to check. There is no list of attitudes like we find in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are they who are meek. Blessed are they who are peacemakers, and so on and so forth. That kind of gives us a list of the types of attitudes that we are to display in our Christian life, our spiritual life. Of course, we know that the Sabbath is a sign between God and his people. That's kind of a specific marker that God gives us that we are his people. But we don't find any checklist to know whether we're in the faith. Is keeping God's commandments part of being in the faith? Well, certainly it is. Is keeping the weekly Sabbath part of being in the faith? Obviously it is. Keeping the annual holy days, is that being part of being in the faith? Yes. That's part of the entire recipe of the cake, so to speak. But brethren, here is one that I want to give you. Certainly there are other ways, but I want to give you one way how you can know before you take the Passover service, this coming Passover, that you truly are in the faith. If you would, turn to 1 Corinthians. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. First Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8 says, therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Brethren, in our society, we have full-time jobs and we have part-time jobs. The Internal Revenue Service, the IRS, defines a full-time job in our country as somebody who works at least 30 hours per week. A part-time job is a job where somebody works less than 30 hours per week. God has a definition of full-time employment as well. And his definition of full-time employment is putting out sin in our lives 24 hours a day and 7 days per week. Brethren, how do we treat putting malice and wickedness, otherwise known as sin, out of our lives and replacing it with sincerity and truth? Do we treat it as a part-time job? Or do we treat it as a full-time job? And what exactly is malice and wickedness? We don't normally go around our communities and our neighborhoods and we point at people and say, you're full of malice. You're full of wickedness. We don't normally use those terms in our modern day English vernacular. So let's look and see the definition of malice and what the definition of wickedness is. We're going to give Merriam-Webster's dictionary a workout. Merriam-Webster defines malice as the intention or desire to do evil or to do ill will toward another person. You might say to yourself, well, I would never do ill will to anybody. I would never do ill towards another person. But what about if we speak badly about somebody, whether we slander them with our words? Is that a form of malice? What about wickedness? Merriam-Webster, again, defines wickedness as having the quality of being evil or morally wrong. And we certainly live in a world and a culture, brethren, that is becoming more evil and more morally wrong in many, many ways. But Christ prayed to God the Father before his crucifixion that he would not take us out of the world. However, at the same time, we cannot allow that wickedness to affect us spiritually. What about sincerity? Merriam-Webster defines sincerity as the quality of being free from pretense, deceit, or hypocrisy. Have you ever been around somebody that's very insincere? Kind of like a used car salesman? We commonly call that in our society fake or phony. Somebody that's fake or phony. And brethren, if we are insincere about putting out the old leaven from our lives, God may consider us also to be fake or phony and insincere. Lastly, truth. What is truth? What does Merriam-Webster define as truth? Of course, we have a biblical definition, thy word is truth, but Merriam-Webster defines it as something that is true or in accordance with fact and reality, fact and reality. And we live in a society, brethren, where truth is absolutely disappearing day by day. And we have people that will look you in the face and tell you that truth is relative, that one person's truth is not another person's truth, that we've come to the point now, in fact, in the House of Representatives, there has been a bill instituted or introduced that is called the Equity Act. And part of the Equity Act is there are no genders. There is no truth between who and what is female and male. That's how far afield and how lost we are when it comes to truth, brethren. Now, these are obviously starting points. They're big points, but starting points. And where do you naturally tend to start with your physical de-leavening process of your home? Probably you start in the kitchen, where most of the leavening is. And we normally start by getting rid of the crackers, the Cheez-Its, the Chips Ahoy chocolate chip cookies. And we mostly start by identifying the big pieces of leavening that are in our lives and the big bags of leaven. So brethren, 1 Corinthians 5 verse 8 is merely a starting point in our spiritual preparation of the Passover and the Holy Days. Now hopefully, in our spiritual lives, we throw out those bags of Cheez-Its, that loaf of white Wonder Bread, and the Chips Ahoy chocolate chip cookies long ago when we were baptized. Brethren, in conclusion, how do you and I know that we are truly in the faith? Every year when we come to the Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread, if we were working daily as a full-time spiritual job of examining ourselves, continuing to remove the old leaven of malice and wickedness, otherwise known as sin, out of our lives, and we are replacing it with sincerity and with truth, and we are recommitting to God the Father and Jesus Christ that we will continue to have that full-time job throughout the rest of our lives, then we indeed know that we have one way of knowing that we are truly in the faith.